Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This episode of the Bears Talk Underground is brought to you by the Spotify Green Room, formerly known as the Locker Room app. Guys, Spotify Green Room is a live audio-only sports talk platform, free to download and use. Talk to me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time. It's perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news. Share your own experiences on the app. Start or join ongoing conversations. Watch games together. React to the biggest news, rumors, and games. And of course, I host a weekly show every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. on the Spotify Green Room. The Bears Talk Underground presents Club 34/7. Be sure and join me. Come through and talk with me live. All you need to do is download the Spotify Green Room app free in the iOS or Android app store. Create a profile, link to your Twitter, and join into the group. Follow me to be notified when my room goes live. And, of course, every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 o'clock Eastern, is when Club 34/7 hits the air. So be sure to join in on the fun, guys. You don't want to miss it. And be sure to follow me on the app so that you'll know anytime that I go live, because we'll be doing watch parties during the preseason. We'll be doing knee-jerk reactions during halftime, during the season, and things like that. Lots to do. This app opens up so many possibilities for interaction between me and you, my loyal audience. So be sure and download the Spotify Green Room app wherever you get your apps. What's up, guys? So that happened. And it happened on national TV. All right. My God. It was, in a lot of ways, it was as bad as I thought it was going to be. I believed all along, I believed all summer, that the Rams are, quite frankly, probably the class of the NFC. I know some teams had some bigger wins and some more impressive wins, but Matt Stafford plus LA Rams did look as good as you thought they would. And early on, it was more about that quick strike ability that the Rams had been missing. And then later on in the game, it was about him leading the offense to slowly but surely kind of cut the Bears up in pieces, especially in the fourth quarter. We will talk about that a lot more in depth tomorrow on the full preview, on the deep dive preview, or review, excuse me, review episode tomorrow. But this is our very first Bear Up and Bear Down episode of 2021. We do have a handful of names in each category, and we do, believe it or not, despite a 20-point loss, have a most valuable bear today. So let's go ahead and see who made the naughty and nice list for our week one loss to the Rams and get this underway. It's the very first, it's week one Bear Up, Bear Down episode of the Bears Talk Underground. So let's get to it. Hang up the telephone. I hear the dial tone ringing out loud. Such I'm having trouble finding the words. Hopefully I'm going to be better at this tomorrow when I'm recording the show on Monday to get ready for a Tuesday release, because I'm having trouble putting into words, and I'm hoping that I'll be able to use my work day, because I work from home, so I'll be watching some YouTube clips and review. Maybe somebody else can help me find the words to describe how I'm feeling so that I'll be able to better express that on tomorrow's show. Mostly I'm just frustrated. I'm pissed, not because we lost, but more so because of how we lost and how we dug ourselves into a hole that we couldn't get ourselves out of. as the game went along. I mean, we just basically proved that the difference between the Bears and the Rams right now is like, you know, you guys have known that what I think about the Rams, what I thought Matt Stafford joining that team would do for them. And, you know, it could easily take them to the Super Bowl. I wholeheartedly believe. And you've also heard me say, I'm thinking the Bears 8-9, 9-8 kind of thing. And truthfully, after tonight, I think the Bears might be worse than that because of our defense, not because we can't get it together on offense. Andy Dalton, you know, he wasn't special tonight, but he wasn't bad. He was not bad tonight. He was not the reason that we didn't win the football game. Like I said, we'll touch upon that a little bit more here as we get going with the lists. But, you know, for the most part, I don't have any ill will towards Andy Dalton and what he did or didn't do tonight. It was our defense eventually that killed us. And what's funny is you'll hear tomorrow in the knee-jerk reactions going through like the first half and maybe even into the third quarter, I wasn't blaming the defense. I mean, not whole hog the way that I would be, the way that I was at the end of the football game. But it's like, if not for a couple of major mistakes that was made by the defense, we're outplaying the Rams. We're winning this football game. It's a whole different story we're going into the fourth quarter with. But instead, we did make those mistakes. The Rams did make us pay for them. And that's the difference between who the Rams are and who the Bears are right now. Right now, we're that team that can't afford to make any mistakes. You know, we have to be as close as we can to perfect to beat a team that's better than us. We're not that team that can afford a mistake or two, and we're good enough to be able to cover that somewhere else. We're that team that can't be having penalties and doing stupid things that's going to give gifts to our opponents, like blown coverages and forgetting to touch the receiver when he's down to make sure that the play is over. Instead, he gets up and runs it in for a touchdown and goofy things like that. We can't afford that. We absolutely cannot afford that. And tonight was proof positive of that. Because take away those two touchdowns. The long one to Cooper Kupp was just the blown coverage. Take away Eddie Jackson forgetting that he wasn't in college again and not touching Van Jefferson and before he runs in for the touchdown. And the final score is 20-14. We still lose the game, but at least it is a game literally down to the wire as opposed to it being over with pretty much by the end of the third quarter, because that's when the Rams really seem to have our number. We're starting to run the football and kind of grind us out of it there at the end. So anyway, all that being said, like I said, we'll get far more into it tomorrow. We'll have knee-jerk reactions, be able to, and like I said, hopefully I've had a chance to listen to some podcasts and watch some video clips to see if I can better express how it is I'm feeling after this game. So anyway, let's move on. Bear up and bear down. That is why we are here today. You know, first bear up, I believe it or not, I want to give it to Justin Fields. He only played, a handful of plays. I saw briefly on, I was looking briefly on Twitter before I came to start recording this that Nagy said that the, you know, getting behind and you know, having to, try to catch up against the Rams limited his reps tonight, as I said, and I still feel the same way despite what he did do tonight. I didn't want Justin Fields out there for one play here, one play there. I didn't want him out there for that. If you're going to play Justin Fields, play Justin Fields. You know, if Andy Dalton's supposed to be the guy, then let him run the whole offense or sit him down, period. I don't like this. I'm not crazy about it. Just looking at the 49ers do it with Garoppolo and Trey Lance, and it's not even my team. And here it is, my team that didn't do that in the preseason, probably because Nagy's super paranoid and didn't want to quote unquote show his hand in the preseason that the Bears might do something like this. But I didn't want this. I don't want to see Justin Fields for one play here and one play there and things like that. Granted, he's responsible for one of the touchdowns we scored tonight. Made a nice throw to Marquise Goodwin on his first snap in the NFL ever officially. to get us inside the 5-yard line before Andy Dalton threw an interception in the end zone to kill that first drive. But, you know, it just, I don't want to be teased like this. I really don't, especially if they do it again next week. I think we'll have greater success on offense against the Bengals than we did against the Rams tonight. And I don't want to see Fields go out there and in one play do something spectacular, and then we throw Andy Dalton back there, and you know we're back to being just a regular offense again. I don't want to see Fields out there unless he's actually playing as our starting quarterback. I will stick to that. I don't want to see it. I really don't. I just feel like it's teasing. You know, I don't like it. So, but bear up to him. He made the most of his opportunities tonight. That touchdown run was, that's what we got Justin Fields for. That's why we got him, you know, because he can do everything. He can run, he can pass. You know, we didn't really get to see much of his accuracy or his throws tonight because a lot of it had to do with, you know, kind of using the running game through him. Aside from the Marquise Goodwin thing, he was out there to take part in the running game at some point. You know, he had that one, that shuffle pass the Rams saw coming and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, he definitely showed the weapon that he can be. And again, it felt like a tease. I wanted to see more. I don't want to see him out there one play at a time, one play here, one play there. I don't want packages for Justin Fields. I want Justin Fields to play, or I want him to not to play. This can't be the plan. This can't be the plan to get him rep. If you want reps, leave him in the goddamn game. Leave him in there. Let him learn by playing. Other teams are doing it. We can do it too. So, anyway, because he did maximize the time that he was out there, he wasn't afforded the time to make any rookie mistakes, and therefore he looked pretty damn good when he was out there. And that touchdown run that he made was pretty impressive. So, bear up to Justin Fields. Bear up Khalil Herbert, returning the ball very well on kickoffs today, and sadly he got a lot of practice at that. But the one that started, he pulled a Cordarrelle Patterson. He was 8 yards deep in the end zone. He runs it out and damn near gets it to midfield before getting forced out of bounds. Had another couple of decent looking returns in there. So you know, he did a good job playing the Cordarrelle Patterson role, at least in the kickoff return game. So I just thought I'd give a nod to the rookie. I thought he did well. And honestly, I want to give a bear up to Elijah Wilkerson because I was not a fan in the preseason. He did not play well. And frankly, he should have never seen the field today because he was our third left tackle because Jason Peterson's per the usual as far as the last several years of his career have gone, suffered a quad injury somewhere in the second quarter, late in the second quarter, so he almost made it through the first half of a football game, did not come back in for the rest of the game. Larry Borum, our fifth, or Borum, I keep mispronouncing his name, Larry Borum comes in relief, actually does well, but he too suffers a injury. He got rolled up, which is common and sucks when you're an offensive lineman. Be standing there, do your job, and somebody else rolls you up from behind. No word on how serious that injury might be. Hopefully it's nothing. But, you know, he seemed to walk out of it under his own power, but he was doing a lot not to put a lot of weight on that left leg when he was walking off the field. So, therefore, Elijah Wilkerson had to come in the third quarter to take over for him. And, you know, I thought he did well. He didn't stick out as the person that was making mistakes. Unfortunately, as the game went along, we decided it was a good idea that we can stop double-teaming Aaron Donald and that we would leave him one-on-one with Cody Whitehair, one of our best offensive linemen. But I don't want anybody that we have on the offensive line going one-on-one with Aaron Donald. I saw tweets that Olin Krutz said James Daniels was doing well against him, but you know, I wanted to see/hear or read that Sam Mustafa and Daniels and Cody White here were all doing a great job, you know, teaming up on Donald to keep him out of Andy Dalton's face, and instead we kept leaving him one-on-one with Cody Whitehair, and that did not work out. So, I mean, he only ended up with one sack, but he was constantly in Dalton's face and causing problems and disrupting. That happened more in the second half. And what was also kind of pissing me off about the broadcast in general is that whenever the broadcasters seemed to notice something, it went against us. Like, they started, you know, talking and harping on the fact that the Rams did not convert a third down in the first half. The Rams did not convert a first down in the third half. They didn't, or first half. They did not convert a third down in the first half. And then what happens on the opening drive? They convert on third down. And a moment later, they throw that big touchdown pass to Cooper Kupp. So, yeah. And I pretty much think they kind of crushed it with, because they were like 0 for 4, 0 for 5 in the first half. They finished 6 for 11. So that means they were like 5 of 6 on third down for the rest of the game. So kudos. Thanks for bringing that up. That it always seems like whenever the statisticians like to throw out and be like, hey, this kicker has never made a kick over 50 yards in an open air stadium. And here he is in Chicago at Soldier Field, has to kick a 55 yarder to win the football game. And he kicks it far enough. He could have made it from 75. But you know, guy's never made a 55-yarder in open-air stadium before, and here he does to beat the Bears with it. And, you know, they did that with the third-down conversion thing, and then also with the Aaron Donald thing. You know, never really done too many games with the Rams where Aaron Donald has been such a non-factor, and then for like 9 plays in a row, Aaron Donald was in somebody's face in the football game. It's like, how about we just stop noticing things, please? Can we just call the game and stop noticing these trends? Because as soon as they come up, they always seem to come back and bite the Bears in the ass. But, yeah. So, anyway, finally, the last Bear up is the most obvious one. Bear up David Montgomery. 16 carries, 108 yards, and a touchdown. Only one carry for 10 yards, and that will be fed into our Bear down list here in a moment. But, you know, he had 3 carries in the first half, or excuse me, not in the first half, in the first quarter. And those 3 carries were good for about 60-something yards. Actually, I think it was closer to 57. It was 57 yards because he was averaging 19 yards a carry in the first quarter. His first carry of the football game went for 41 yards. His second one went for 13. The third one for a meager 3 yards. So he had 57 yards on 3 carries in the first quarter. And yeah, that was it. We only had the 3 carries, but he had 7 more. So he had like 10 carries for 70 something yards in the first half. And thanks to the deficit that we fell behind by 2 scores, that we pretty much abandoned the running game somewhere in the middle of the third quarter. Actually, I think we pretty much abandoned it after the second touchdown drive, where Justin Fields finished it off. So, I mean, if we're in this ball game, I think that his numbers are bigger. But the fact that he only caught 1 pass for 10 yards is a travesty. And we'll talk about who's to blame for that here in just a moment. But, you know, it's Montgomery was a beast. Again, he's just picking up where he left off from, you know, last year, where he finished as a 1,000-yard rusher, but he did almost all of that in from like week 12 to the end of the season, because I think he had maybe 400 yards rushing before our bye week, and then week 12, starting with the Packer game all the way through the end to the Green Bay game at the end of the season, he found his way over 1,000 yards. I mean, he had that big game against the Vikings. He had, you know, over 100 yards rushing against the Texans. He you know, he was just a beast there in the last, you know, 6-7 games of the season. And he's, I mean, we've heard about Montgomery and all the work that he did on, you know, to get faster and to be more of an effective back. And, you know, call it circumstances of the game or whatever Nagy's blaming it on, we just didn't see enough of him tonight. Hopefully that's a trend that will get fixed next week, and he'll get more than 3 carries in the first quarter and so on and so forth. But, you know, definitely the best player on the field tonight wearing a Bear uniform. Bear up to David Montgomery. So Quick break. We'll be back with Bear Downs, and then we'll wrap this thing up. This episode of the Bears Talk Underground is brought to you by the Spotify Green Room, formerly known as the Locker Room app. Guys, Spotify Green Room is a live, audio-only sports talk platform, free to download and use. Talk to me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time. It's perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news. Share your own experiences on the app. Start or join ongoing conversations. Watch games together. React to the biggest news, rumors, and games. And, of course, I host a weekly show every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. on the Spotify Green Room. The Bears Talk Underground presents Club 34/7. Be sure and join me. Come through and talk with me live. All you need to do is download the Spotify Green Room app free in the iOS or Android App Store. Create a profile, link to your Twitter, and join into the group. Follow me to be notified when my room goes live. And, of course, every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 o'clock Eastern, is when Club 34/7 hits the air. So be sure to join in on the fun, guys. You don't want to miss it. And be sure to follow me on the app so that you'll know anytime that I go live, because we'll be doing watch parties during the preseason. We'll be doing knee-jerk reactions during halftime, during the season, and things like that. Lots to do. This app opens up so many possibilities for interaction between me and you, my loyal audience. So be sure and download the Spotify Green Room app wherever you get your apps. Bear Downs, sorry to end the show on sour notes, but I kind of wanted to do these all together. And bear down to the guy that is the blame for the lack of David Montgomery and has been for ever. That would be Matt Nagy, who decided that taking the play-calling duties back was a good idea now that Mitchell Trubisky was no longer his quarterback. And, Mitch wasn't the whole problem. He was a problem. He wasn't the problem. And it's, it was obvious then, it's obvious now to everyone but Matt Nagy. He and his play-calling are the problem. And, like I said, three carries for Montgomery, who was you heard me talk about in the Lions game. It drove me batshit insane in that Lions game. But the one that we lost at home, where he kept taking him out of the game, and we kept doing it here. You hear me talk about it in knee-jerk reactions. You'll hear me talk about it at length tomorrow. I promise you. Kept taking him out of the game, not sticking with the hot hand, not letting him be the guy that takes over the football game. Nagy's got to be the guy. He's got to be the one that's getting the rhythm and taking over the football game. Even though he's not on the field actually making it happen, he keeps steering it away from our best player, okay? Because, guys, our best player on offense is not Allen Robinson. It hasn't been for a long time, okay? It's not Allen Robinson. It's David Montgomery. This offense should be running through David Montgomery. Whether he's carrying the ball out of the backfield or catching it out of the backfield, he's the best we got. He is the best that we got. Not to say that Allen Robinson's not a good football player. Okay? He's definitely number two on that offense for sure. But he's not number one, and he hasn't been since week 12 of last year. David Montgomery is the man. He's the one that this offense should be running through, and instead, we're not. And that's what's pissing me off. It was one target and one catch for 10 yards for Montgomery. That's inexcusable. We should not be doing that. Okay? And Damian Williams, no issue with him. It's the same as the Lions game last year. No issue with what Cordarrelle Patterson did when he was on the field. It's just that those carries should have been given to David Montgomery. I feel the same way about Damian Williams. His numbers were not great, but, about half of his opportunities should have gone to David Montgomery. He should be getting those extra carries. He had a few targets in the passing game tonight. Let me see if I can dig it up real quick. Yeah, five targets for Damian Williams. Five. Only one for Montgomery. Nonsense. Absolute nonsense. And that's on Matt Nagy. He's our play caller, so it's because of him. So stop taking Montgomery out of the game. leave him in there. He is our workhorse. You know, leave him in the football game. Put the ball in his hands. He makes the most happen with the football. He absolutely does. So that's on Matt Nagy. Bear down to him. Bear down Sean Desai, our new defensive coordinator. He got smoked by Sean McVay tonight. Even on the Van Jefferson play where it was more Eddie Jackson and Deshaun Gibson not touching him when he was down, but he was wide open. He was wide open. He made that catch uncontested. And then Jackson and Gibson just ran right past him without touching him, so he just gets up and runs in. A great heads-up play on his part. But then, later on in the third quarter, like I said, 90 seconds into the third quarter, it was a 13-7 ball game where we felt good scoring that touchdown just before halftime, making it a 13-7 game. The Rams start with the football. 90 seconds in is 20-7 because Cooper Kupp was wide open. I mean, embarrassingly open, 10 yards behind everybody else for the touchdown. Take away those two plays. Take away those two, and we're looking at a different ball game. But again, like I said, we're not that team that can have those mistakes and then cover them up later or make them up afterwards. We're that team that has to be perfect. And those two big plays, that's literally the difference in the game. I know we still lose 20-14 if we just eliminate those two touchdowns, but if it's 20-14 and we've got the ball with 3 minutes to go, we're looking at a much different approach. Instead of trying to dink and dunk and, you know, run the clock out, and we're actually trying to win the football game. And, we have a chance to do that. But instead, it was a three-score game, and we're just trying to get out of town. And, Sean Desai wasn't all that impressive in the preseason and was terrible tonight. You know, it's like the defense, you listen to knee-jerk reactions, you're going to hear me go through the gamut of emotions. I mean, I don't get all super pissed or anything like that, but it's like in the first two quarters at halftime, it's like, I think the defense is playing well, actually. Aside from going into halftime with the one big mistake, it's like, you know, Stafford's not carving us up. We're stuffing the run. We look pretty decent on offense. We're moving the chains. We're hanging on to the ball and all that kind of stuff. It doesn't look too bad. Out there. Take away that mistake. It's a completely different football game. I said the same thing after the third quarter. Take away those two big plays. We're looking at a much different ball game right now. The Bears are winning 14-13 going into the fourth quarter with those two plays gone. Not down 27-14. It's a different ball game, but those two huge mistakes, that was literally the difference in the game. It changed everything. Those two monumental mistakes, and they were blown coverages. And I don't think it was completely on our secondary just, you know, brain farting their way into a huge mistake or anything. You got to look at because how many times did we get beat like that under Fangio or under Pagano the last couple of years? It didn't happen like that. It just didn't. I mean, we had a bad play here, a bad play there, but we didn't have several in one football game like we did tonight. And in the chess game, Sean McVay was just checkmating the shit out of Sean Desai tonight. That's what was happening. So not a good debut for our rookie defensive coordinator. Bear down Sean Desai. And then I'll just talk about all three of these guys at the same time. Bear down Eddie Jackson, bear down Marquis Christian, bear down Deshaun Gibson. Now, Deshaun Gibson, it's more so for the forgetting that you weren't in college anymore play for Van Jefferson in the first touchdown. Eddie Jackson was also guilty on that play, but also did not. Still can't tackle worth a damn right now. And Marquis Christian, who was our nickelback tonight, it's kind of making me miss Buster Screen, because man, did he get smoked again tonight. It just wasn't good. None of those guys was good. Eddie Jackson being the most guilty there. They had a 3rd and 13 on that final touchdown drive for the Rams. Eddie Jackson being a good football player, because he is He actually is a good football player, which is so frustrating about what he's been putting on the field lately. Sniffs it out. You know, it was a short, like maybe 3 or 4 yard pass to Cooper Kupp. He, you know, has Cooper Kupp, runs, you know, just overshoots the play. So he misses Cooper Kupp. Then Marquis Christian misses out on the tackle. And then Cooper Kupp makes it gets about 16 on 3rd and 13. And they turn that into the final touchdown, the dagger, if you will, to make it 34-14. And, you know, God bless Collinsworth and Michaels on that particular play, because that was more like the will of Cooper Kupp rather than the piss poor tackling on the part of Christian and Eddie Jackson on that one. I mean, it's getting ridiculous with this. And you know, Eddie Jackson is slowly but surely playing his way out of Chicago because he's getting paid way too much to be playing like this. It's just, it's not good. It's not good at all. I mean, next year we could be in salary cap hell next week for all the dead, or next year, I should say, for all the dead money that we're going to be carrying to get rid of these players and start over kind of thing. So, I mean, we'll see how that ends up going. Like 22 will be a reset year, and then 23 we'll have cap money. We'll have a first round pick again and things like that to be able to truly hit the reset button and get after it in 2023. It'll be year 3 under Justin Fields and probably with a new head coach and a general manager and everything like that. So, but you know, Eddie Jackson, it's getting embarrassing out there. I don't know what happened to Eddie Jackson. It can't just be because Fangio isn't our DC anymore. Cause right now, The further we go into this, or the further we get away from the Fangio era in Chicago, the more it looks like Eddie Jackson was a superstar because of Vic Fangio, and not so much because of Eddie Jackson. It's because Fangio was putting him in the right spot to make those plays, as opposed to Eddie Jackson showing Ed Reed-like instincts to be in position to make those plays. So, yeah, it's getting ugly out there for Eddie Jackson. It needs to turn around ASAP, dude, because, you know, we're outside of his rookie contract, or at least I think we are. And he's going to be cashing in on that 15 mil a season. What is this? This is year 5 for him. So, yeah, we're in the first year of that extension right now. His rookie contract is over, and he's getting paid the big bucks, and he's not earning them. He's not earning them. So, actually, he hasn't been earning that contract at all. He signed it before 2019, and he's not earning that money. He's not. So, got to get that fixed. So, and then finally, here's your positive note. Most valuable Bear, obviously David Montgomery, like I said, 16 carries, 108 yards and a touchdown. The one carry, or the one reception for 10 yards, that's the travesty there, but that's on Nagy. Keep taking him out of the goddamn game. You got to leave him in there, man. You got to leave him in there. You got to let Montgomery take over the football game. Because like I said, he's the best player we have on offense. It's not Allen Robinson. It is not. And like I said, Allen Robinson's a good football player. He is absolutely. He's our best receiver. He's our second best offensive player on the team. But he's not number one. And number one should be the guy that's getting the ball the most. Get him running the football. Get him catching it out of the backfield. Let's run this thing through him so that Allen Robinson can shine. Because if we consistently, you know, if we make David Montgomery the focal point of the offense, I think that opens things up for Allen Robinson. That, you know, with the play action and things like that, I think just it opens it up. We're doing it backwards. Nagy's got it backwards, man. We need to be a run-first football team because Montgomery's the man. He absolutely is. We need to be running it through him. And he keeps trying to turn this into the Kansas City Chiefs, and we don't have Tariq Hill and Mecole Hardman and, you know, Travis Kelce. We don't have that, okay? We have Allen Robinson, absolutely. We have Darnell Mooney. That's great. He's like Tyreek Hill light. And you know, Cole Kmet is still working his way up. He's light years from Travis Kelce at this point. But we got better running backs. We got David Montgomery. If you put him on the Chiefs, good God. Watch out, you know, but We have David Montgomery, and we should be using him. We should be running the offense through him to open things up for everybody else. Our play action game would be sick if we would just focus on Montgomery, because we'd have defenses loading up the box, daring us to throw the ball. Collinsworth talked himself blue in the face tonight about how the Rams were daring us to run. They were not afraid of us throwing the football. They were not afraid. They were sitting back to defend the pass, daring us to run the ball. And, that needs to be the other way around. We need to be facing, you know, eight-man boxes and having them dare us to throw and letting us hurt them with our passing game. You know, that just, that's my two cents for now. So, anyway, it's getting late. I need to get to bed. I got to get up in the morning for work, so I'm going to go ahead and close it out here. Most valuable bear for week one, David Montgomery. Write it down. Probably the first of many for this year, or at least I hope so. Be sure to come back tomorrow on Tuesday for the deep dive review. We'll have knee-jerk reactions and other thoughts and opinions. And like I said, hopefully after having a day of analysis from the experts, help me better express the way I feel about this game. We'll be able to express those thoughts in tomorrow's episode. So anyway, crappy way to start the year, but Nagy's 1-for-3 on opening day. Frankly, he should be 0-for-4 as DeAndre Swift dropped a game-winning touchdown pass last season. But, but he's a killer in September. You know, we've started every season under Nagy 3-1. So hopefully we're about to go on a three-game winning streak so that we can do that again. But with the Bengals look good today, Cleveland looked damn good despite the fact they lost to Kansas City. And, Detroit showed a lot of heart even in a losing effort against the 49ers. So first four games are not easy by any stretch of the imagination. We got two winnable games with Cincinnati and Detroit. And Cleveland is going to be another Rams game, I think, after today's performance. But we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. So anyway, that's going to do it. Come back tomorrow for the deep dive review. And until then, my name is Larry D, and this has been Bears Talk Underground.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to Let Sleeping Dogs Lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.